The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM in Olympia, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. But first, a few words from your discount Looking Glass outlet. E. Caveat. Emptor. Sucker.
Yes, kids, I have spectacular news for you this week, because after decades of painstaking and exhaustive research, I have finally figured out what is wrong with the world. And never fear, my loyal listeners, yes, both of you, for I am about to reveal the secret in an explosive Thunderbolt exclusive. Kids, we have fallen through a discount looking glass.
Consider, what if you reported a crime and they threw you into jail for reporting it, while the actual criminal received a promotion? Well, that is exactly what Barack Obama has been doing to more whistleblowers than all other presidents in the country's history combined. Really? What the hell kind of looking glass is that? What if you were robbed of nearly everything you own, but when you called the police explained that the robber had subsequently lost all your money gambling in a casino, and now that in addition to your losses from the theft, you must also pay for his gambling debts? Well, that is exactly what Wall Street just did to all of us, and that was exactly the government's response. Wow, that looking glass must have some kind of nasty crap on the lens, eh? And what can you say when motherhood, the job that not only carries more responsibility than any other, but is also one of the hardest and the most demanding, receives not one duly of any squat concerning financial remuneration for their efforts, whilst arrogant, sociopathic, human-mutant hybrids who do nothing but suck our world dry receive compensation that is so over-the-top, overblown, that is quite literally insane? Jeez, this looking glass must have been manufactured by a child slave in a third world sweatshop or something. I think we should demand a refund. Yes. Hello and welcome to the Thunderbolt for January 29th, 2021. This is a fifth Friday, meaning that it's time for the Thunderbolt's Greatest Strikes, wherein I curate the finest of the finest show segments from over the years and replay them again. And so, without further ado, on with the show!
Since incredibly vile practices are routinely given innocuous and innocent-sounding names to make them seem a little less bad and nasty than they actually are, then this week the Thunderbolt is proud to perform yet another public service for my listeners by presenting a conversion chart in order that you may translate modern terminology from political doublespeak into plain English.
So when they call it collateral damage, what they really mean is murder. When they call it rendition, what they are actually talking about is kidnapping. When they call it enhanced interrogation, what they really mean is torture. When they say they misspoke, what they mean is that they lied. When they speak of a disposition matrix, what they are talking about is a secret kill list. When they claim they are providing humanitarian aid, what they mean is they are going to economically dominate, invade, or occupy. When they speak of a sensitive issue, what they mean is an embarrassing and or an illegal issue. When they talk about consent, what they mean is that you had better agree or else. This should come as no surprise to any Thunderbolt listener, but an ex-Guantanamo prison guard has just published a book claiming that three Guantanamo detainees, whom the military had told us committed suicide, were actually tortured to death. So here is what I think, a very good question. Since almost everything that Pentagon officials say to us later turns out to be a lie, then why does anyone still listen to a single word that those people say? Why is it that every time they try to say anything, they aren't just drowned out by a chorus of raspberries, showered with hurled flotsam and jetsam, and drowned out with cries of liar, liar, pants on fire?
This song is for all the political prisoners, both here and around the world. For the people incarcerated for fraud, stealing, and larceny, and all other crimes involving property. For it's nothing but the state protecting the rich from the poor. Ever since we lost our common ground, that's what the law's been for. Songs for all my friends, for those inside for drug offenses. Does the state really care about your own misguided will? No, they're protecting the profits of the pharmaceutical and tobacco corporations. And you must suffer for the oligopoly of the few.
So Keith Alexander was recently exposed for lying to a Senate committee.
I see no criminals.
This is a serious crime, for which I can absolutely guarantee would earn you or I a trip to prison where we can do it.
This song is for all the political prisoners.
Even the media machine had to take note of Alexander's lies, since they were so blatant, and since they were so quickly and so publicly exposed. And keep in mind, his lies were absolutely not told for any patriotic good of the country or national security reasons. No, his lies were told to cover up the vilest of imaginable criminal activity. Virtually all criminal activity conducted by the government is now classified for national security reasons. And for good reason. And since the federal courts are also made up almost wholly of fascists these days,
then don't hold your breath waiting for any criminal indictments. At least not for people like Keith Alexander. If you're a regular person, though, you may want to immediately cover your ass. Now, as I have also pointed out several times, they can't start prosecuting people, because once they started, it would almost instantly turn into an avalanche enveloping nearly everyone in the federal government. And so, their nasty crimes are indeed kept secret for the security of the country.
This song is for all the political prisoners, both here and around the world. For the people incarcerated for fraud, stealing, and larceny, and all other crimes involving property. For it's nothing but the state protecting the rich from the poor.
The problem is that the country they are securing
lost our common ground
is also the same country that is committing all of these crimes.
Yeah, I see no criminals. I see performing political prisoners.
So after Keith Alexander explained that what he said was the least untruthful thing that he could say, which is probably another lie, and after he got caught red-handed with his pants down and with his other hand deep into the cookie jar, after all of that, nothing further happened. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Jack all. Business as usual. Just continued without hitch or hammer. Absolutely nothing further of any kind in any way, shape, or form was done on this matter in any manner whatsoever, pro forma, or howsoever, otherwise, whosoever, weatherwise, or whensoever. Never. Ever. Whatever. They aren't even trying to hide it anymore. They don't need to hide it anymore. Mr. Alexander not only did not go to prison, but he even kept his job. He not only kept his job, but he was called in once again to testify, i.e. offer more lies, to the very same Senate committee that he had already been so famously caught lying to. These days, whenever Mr. Alexander is spouting on the media machine, you might hear the talking heads occasionally snicker and say, "Yeah, didn't Alexander get caught lying to Congress a while back? Isn't that funny? Ha ha ha." The media machine still treats him with deference rather than with raspberries. I'm sure the good senators in that hearing also played their roles well, and that they still showed the proper deference to this lying piece of human slime during his latest testimony. Kids, this is insane. Literally. And speaking of lies, I don't listen to the State of the Union address. Every time I see Barack Obama's picture on my computer, I feel like throwing things at it. And since I'm still paying for my current computer, I don't want to risk doing something in a peak of passion that I will later regret. According to reports, though, the Obama evidently asked Congress for a blank check to throw the U.S. military at whomever he pleases. He claims that Bush's authorization back in the day is all he needs to do whatever he wants to do. But since his argument has holes big enough to throw the planet of Jupiter through, with room left over, then he is rather plaintively begging Congress to give him a new authorization. And Congress is reportedly more than willing to go along. They're just quibbling over those devilish details. He also reportedly bragged again about how, unlike his predecessor, he does not torture people. No, he does not torture people. As he previously stated, that just isn't who we are. No, Obama doesn't arrest people without a trial and then torture them. Obama
just kills them. Much less messy. I guess that is who we are. And now I have some good news. We now have a friend in the United States Senate. Yes, kids. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, is taking a stand on money in politics. Yes, he's been blasting the Koch brothers for using their incredible wealth to purchase our government. He is blaming them for everything from economic inequality to global warming. The Senate Majority Leader is finally attacking the base core problem with our democracy. Yippee! However, we must be clear here. Mr. Reid's admonitions do not apply to Sheldon Adelson, the richest man in Reid's home state of Nevada. According to Harry Reid, even though Mr. Adelson makes his, quote, contributions to pretty much the same right-wing causes as the Koch brothers do, the difference is that Adelson honestly believes in his causes, whereas the Kochs are only in it for the money. Yes, Senator Reid said Adelson is in it because he has certain ideological views. Boy, that's a big load off of my mind. Sheldon Adelson is actually a good guy because Adelson honestly believes in fascism, whereas the Kochs are only in it for cynical, selfish, economic reasons. Boy, I'm glad we cleared that up. And how do we tell which right-wingers are true ideologues and which are simply people trying to buy the government for selfish, greedy ends? Simple. Whoever Harry Reid likes is an honest broker, while anyone that Harry Reid doesn't like is a vile corrupter of our government. Everything is so simple now. Thank you, Senator Reid. And now I have even more good news. The people of Africa now have a new friend. Yes, kids, over the last decade, several million, mostly civilians, have been killed in the Congo with nary a peep from the Western media. Evidently, they have more important things to cover. What did happen at Benghazi anyway? Also, the kidnapping and enslaving and or forced marrying of young girls has also been a common practice in Central Africa for a long time now. And again, the media machine has never thought this worthy of much, if any, comment. But now suddenly, for some unknown reason, they are paying attention to something that happened to some Africans. Suddenly, everybody is rising up in outrage over the mass kidnapping of several hundred young African girls. Now, some cynics, yeah, you know who you are, would point out that you can't believe much of what the media machine tells you about much of anything, and that any time that they are creating a new bogeyman, you must take anything they say about them with a ton of salt. But this time, Boko Haram themselves put out a video showing what violent, murderous nutcases they are. Thus, they can easily be dehumanized and then exterminated, rather than asking the hard questions about why some people are reduced to such insanity. Now, some cynics might also speculate that the publicity being given to these new African boogeymen
is associated with the warning that I issued last year when the U.S. government announced that Africa was now getting its very own American military command called AFRICOM. Yes, I warned the Africans they better cover their asses and head for the hills because the United States was about to drop a ton of democratic whoopee on their asses. But it's only the cynics who think things like that. We must clearly cheer nearly any step taken with the intention of taking down these heavily armed mass-murdering lunatics who kidnap and rape little girls. And just continue to ignore all the other things that are happening there and that continue to happen there. For instance, Boko Haram has continued to attack villages and kidnap little girls. But even though the media machine actually has reporters on the ground in country at the moment, who knows for how long, but they are focused only on the single mass kidnapping, and they continue to ignore the smaller, lower profile kidnappings that are happening right under their noses, even as they continue their breathless coverage of the latest officially designated media circus. Let's hear it for the media machine! And now, I have some scary news for you kids. It turns out that the Western Antarctic ice sheet is about to melt. And that means a very large increase in sea level, which means a very large volume of very deep doo-doo for humanity. Ironically, Antarctica is the driest continent on the planet, even though it simultaneously contains over 90% of the world's supply of fresh water. Antarctica averages only 3 inches per year of precipitation, about the same as Death Valley. But since most of the Antarctic is thousands of feet above sea level, this means that most of the Antarctica never gets above freezing, which means that all 3 of those inches falls as snow, and, until recently anyway, once it fell, it never melted. Thus, for hundreds of thousands of years, 3 inches of snow per year have been accumulating on the Antarctic ice sheets to the point where the ice is many thousands of feet thick in many areas. The Western Antarctic ice sheet alone contains just less than 10% of all the fresh water on our entire planet. And if it were to melt, then this alone would raise sea levels by nearly 10 feet. And according to scientists, it is no longer a question of whether the Western Antarctic ice sheet is going to melt. The question now is only how fast it is going to happen. And now, I have a funny story for you. Many have noted that many government departments resemble a joke. Well, during the Cold War, a gentleman named Yakov Smirnov escaped from the Soviet Union and became a popular comedian in the United States. Mr. Smirnov describes how in the Soviet Union, all comedians had to submit all jokes to the Department of Humor for approval. Thus, we literally had a department of jokes. So Mr. Smirnov's career took a nosedive when the Soviets tore down the wall in the 80s. With the fall of the Soviet Union, David Letterman listed the fact that this was going to put Yakov Smirnov out of business as number one on his top 10 list for the effects of the Soviet collapse. And this was an accurate assessment for a while. Mr. Smirnov's career indeed took a crap. But he realized he needed to find someplace where they did not know that the Cold War was over. And so he moved to Branson, Missouri, bought his own nightclub, and he is doing just fine now. Thank you. So one final note before this bit ends. I'd like to mention that from 1800 to 1935, our number one cash export was cotton. I would also mention that from 1800 to 1860, that cotton was grown and harvested by slaves. After 1860, much of it was grown and harvested by sharecroppers who were little more than slaves. So we're never going to fix anything until we make the acknowledgement that our entire economic foundation was built on the backs of black people.
Isn't that charming? Do you know, I really feel I could dance.
Quaint. Charming. Right. It's time to wake up.
And we're going to take a quick station break now. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. So please take all proper precautions. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show!
I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said that nothing in life is inevitable except death and taxes. As far as I know, the 1% has not yet figured out a way to beat death. I hear they are diligently working on that, though. I wonder if they'll share if when they ever figure that out. Anyway, while they haven't beaten death, taxes are another matter, and they aren't sharing any of that. Quite the contrary. Taxes. So rather unusually in the world, residents of the United States pay taxes to three different levels of government, i.e. federal, state, and local. So when people speak of the tax burden, they are usually referring to federal taxes. But the fact is that while just over half of American taxes are taken in by the feds, just a little less than half are taken in by the states and the locals. Thus, the local tax structure is almost as important as the federal one is. And in some ways, local taxes are even more important, since the average Joe can influence how local taxes are spent much more than he can influence what the feds do. Now, the federal government depends overwhelmingly upon the income tax. In theory, this is a progressive tax, which means that the more you benefit from our system, then the larger share you pay to maintain it. I.e., rich people pay a larger share of their income to this tax than poor people do. However, so many loopholes and exceptions have been carved out of the federal tax structure that the progressive aspects of it are more theoretical to non-existent than anything real.
Now, when right-wingers say crap such as the top 1% alone carries over 45% of the federal income tax burden, quote, keep in mind that this same 1% owns over 90% of everything that there is to own. Their number also fails to account for payroll taxes, which only working people pay, and which, in many cases, costs them more on their tax bill than their income tax does, but whatever. Now, some states also have an income tax, but even those states depend mostly upon the sales tax, which is a regressive tax, which means that poor people pay a larger percentage of their income than rich people do. Now, our own state of Washington depends largely upon the regressive sales tax, and much more on the state of Washington in just a moment here. Now, counties and municipalities depend mostly upon property taxes, which is another regressive tax, wherein people are taxed upon the value of certain items of property, such as their land, their car, or other various this's and that's's. Thus, basically, the feds tax your money coming in, the states tax your money going out, and the locals tax whatever is left over. However, there is a large body of property that I will get into in a moment that no one taxes. And I don't think it will tax your imagination to guess who owns that property. Anyway, as a result of our regressive tax structure, the national average works out like this. The bottom 20% of income pays 11.1% of that income to local governments. The average middle income earner pays 9.4% to the locals, whilst those 1%ers that we all know and love so well pay only 5.6% to the locals. However, here in Washington State, we have the honor of having the most regressive tax structure in the entire country. Yay for us! We're number one, kids. And how was this amazing feat accomplished? Well, here's a hint. Our state has been firmly under the almost complete control of the Democratic Party for many years now. Yay for the Democrats! Thanks to them, we have a more regressive tax structure than even such progressive bastions as the state of Texas and Mississippi. As a result, you pay 17% of your hard-earned cash to our state, while Bill Gates pays 3%. Yes, kids, Washington is the home of the welfare billionaire. The Democrats also just recently bent over for Boeing, as Boeing extorted the largest state tax break in American history. Boeing, after enjoying record profits again last year, just received a bipartisan tax break that is more than the state of Washington spends on the entire University of Washington system. So, while the feds tax what you make, the states tax what you take, and the locals tax what you keep, when it comes to property, not all property is equal. As far as taxation purposes go, yes, while things like land and cars and retail or wholesale inventory are taxed quite heavily, there are three types of property that no one taxes. Those being stocks, bonds, and cash. And here in the state of Washington, the Democrats have arranged things so that the type of property that middle-income people are likely to own is heavily taxed, while the type of property that rich people are likely to own
is barely taxed at all. What a good deal for the 1%. We pay and they play. So you see, in this era of extreme polarization, here in Washington, both parties have achieved a bipartisan consensus. Both parties feel that we can fix our problems by robbing from the poor and giving to the rich. Yes, kids, Reaganhood lives again. Now, unlike many ultra-wealthy people, Bill Gates actually earned his wealth by inventing, though some say stealing, but whatever, and manufacturing, and he did personally see to that, a very useful product. I use his products every day myself. Yay, Bill Gates! Go, Bill, go! However, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Gates uses the courts a lot more than I do. And I'm pretty sure that his trucks wear out our highways a lot faster than I do. And I'm pretty sure that Mr. Gates greatly benefited from our educating his workforce for him for free. And I think Mr. Gates could damn well pay his fair share for the cost of maintaining the system that allowed him to do what he did and the system that made it possible for him to become so wealthy. However, the last time that an income tax was debated in a state Senate chamber, I had a hard time preventing my head from exploding when I heard a senator from the state with the most inequitable tax structure in the entire country, and talking about a bill that represented a major attempt to start correcting this inequity, I heard this elected official criticize the income tax bill because it was inequitable toward the 1%. Dude, really? Cry me a frigging river. Why don't ya? Yes, kids, Americans hold an estimated 15 to 20 trillion with a T in stocks and bonds. The vast majority of these are being held by the 1%. So when it comes to tax reform, quote, I think it might be strategically wise to concentrate first on this vast trove of untaxed wealth. Even a tax rate of 0.5% on all of this, quote, intangible wealth would produce a flood of boulah into our cash-strapped county and city coffers. However, taxing this money might be considered to be inequitable to some, such as the Democrats and the Republicans, for instance. So, kids, I'd say it's time to get to work. This week's calendar, coming right up. Yippee! The world sure is weird, isn't it? And that's it for the news and commentary section for this week's show. In lieu of a Thunderbolt activist events calendar, we will instead fill out the rest of the hour with some music. And we're going to go classic rock this week. This is Jimi
Hendrix.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was a variety of Jimi Hendrix songs from a variety of periods during his rather short career. That last tune was called Jam 292. Before that, we had the classic version of Purple Haze, and we started off that set with Burning of the Midnight Lamp. Guy was a genius, and he was way ahead of his time, and he died way too young. And that's it for the show this week. Hope to see you next week. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's D-A-N-A 98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.